This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Which should say, if anybody out there, if you're being loquacious or talkative, remember, there's the Bible says there's sin in a multitude of words. Simmer it down, cut up, because remember, people, less is more and more is less. And the less you say, the more people remember. Remember, Amy Grant said that she said, you know, I don't remember sermons when I was a child, but I remember the songs. And she's been a very great influence on my life with her songwriting and a minister of the gospel. But you said something marvelous, that you have this memory that God gave you. Now, I have an unusual memory for the scriptures.
Yeah.
But if you were on my show, I've interviewed over 40,000 people. Some people might think I'm arrogant because you could be walking down the street. I won't recognize you. I knew you for 15 minutes, or I knew you for a full hour.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're not in my life regularly, I just can't hold on to all that information. But anyway, so let's get back to this. The situation is, so you go forward. And when I watch Billy Graham, I wonder how many people. I went to see him in England. I went to see him in South Florida. I went to see him in Albany, New York. I saw him a few times before I would meet him later in life at Jeb Bush's inauguration in Tallahassee, Florida. But I often wonder about people going forward, because for me, I was alone in my living room. I thought Jesus was a bunch of hogwash. Mm-hmm. I was into the Eastern religion. I thought it was silliness that God would send one man a son. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was into the Eastern religion. From the time I was 14, I was a seeker. But God does say, you will find me if you seek me, when you seek me with all your heart. So he's watching us.
Yeah.
And I was in my living room. Finally, all these people are around me, what I call Jesus freaks, and then I secretly was watching Pat Robertson at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I liked him because he spoke gently.
Yeah.
And I'm attracted to gentle. And you know, in the book of Samuel, it says, thy gentleness hath made thee great. In the book of Psalms, it says, thy gentleness hath made thee great. Paul said one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. And there's a lot of loud people around today, and like, I don't like screaming preachers. So anyway, Pat Robertson was there. You know, this is Pat Robertson, host of the 700 Club. I believe there's a man who's going to be a radio talk host from Florida. Anyway, so I secretly was watching him, and then one Sunday I got up in my living room and I called out to him. I said, okay, I'll take a chance. I believe you died on the cross, rose from the dead. You know, nothing happened. So I'm staring at the ceiling. Then I start yelling at the ceiling. And I said, okay, I'm a fool to live without you. You're God. You're God. What a fool I would be to live my life without you. So I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead by faith. And I surrender the rest of my life to you. Boom. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Holy Spirit came within me in my bosom. Immediately I said, wow. This is why people take drugs. Drugs are the counterfeit. Yeah. This is the real McCoy. Sat down in a rocking chair, and I said, this is what the black folks are talking about. Yeah. I said, this was joy. I thought joy and happiness were synonyms. Well, this was joy, and it was something unique, and it was given by the Holy Spirit. Now, so you three go forward, you and your two siblings, and you immediately remarked, but it was genuine.
Yes.
And we have to be careful, because there are people on TV that'll say, you know, say this, and you're born again. No. God's not an easy catch. I used to have a friend, very well-to-do friend, Garrity Lumbers across the United States, and he'd go to a toll booth. He got saved when he was an alcoholic lawyer in his 30s and then became a fanatic for Jesus. He'd go to a toll booth and say this, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead. He said, good, you're born again, and he'd drive off.
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
I want you to, in your words, what is the difference for you, and what do you perceive was the difference in your two siblings who followed you to the Jack Wurtzen preacher himself that day? What state were you in at the time?
Pennsylvania.
I'm
originally from Pennsylvania.
Okay, so tell me what it was like and why you went forward and what happened.
Well, then we went forward, and there was a lot of people that night at the front. I mean, there could have been 30, 40 people that came. It was a large church.
Mm.
It was in Limerick, Pennsylvania.
Limerick?
Yeah.
It's the Irish there, you know, Limerick. Yeah.
So there was a lot of us up there, and then they spoke to us. saying, you know, why we came forward and all that.
But
I can't remember in detail, you know, what all they said, except when they led us in the sinner's prayer. And I prayed that, you know, with all my heart. And, oh, I mean, I don't know with my brother and sister, but they became very strong Christians also. I mean, their life has reflected that. Now, my sister has since passed on, but her whole life, she lived for the Lord. And of course, my brother Paul, and I could talk a lot about, you know, all my siblings, every one of them have gotten saved. But more than that, they have lived for the Lord. They have lived for the Lord, and they and involved in his work in a big way.
So in other words, you're saying you've seen the evidence of that faith. That you shall know them by their fruit.
Right, and that to me, that's the proof.
Mm,
I mean, down here in Florida, it's sad. I run into so many people that claim, you know, they'll tell you when they that they received the Lord as their Savior, but there's no fruit. They don't go to a church, and they're not involved in it. How can you go years and years? I can see a certain amount of time, but if there's no fruit, no difference, that's so sad, you know.
And yet people are in different levels of growth, and some grow very slow.
That's true.
That's their business between the Lord.
Yeah.
But he doesn't call us to judge, but he does. I presume he calls us to be fruit inspectors, to make sure there's some semblance of fruit.
Yeah.
You know, I am a man who came to Jesus and thought I was going to be the best son he ever had next to Jesus.
Yeah.
I tried to live like a monk for the first 7 or 8 years. I tried to do everything right. And it didn't work out. I've had my own falls.
Yeah.
But like in life, we fall forward to success. And sometimes we go through things. For instance, Jack Wertzen was famous for his fire and brimstone. Now, I like Jack Wertzen, and he handled it well. But I'm the type of person, if I'd become a preacher back when I first got born again, I'd be sending everybody to hell because I would have been, you know, I've got it, self-righteousness, I'm saved, you're not. And God had to go, well, we got to take care of this guy. So he has continually been squishing me like a grape for the past 60-something years, right? Well, now 50 years. I got born again at 29, and I'm now 70. So 70th year.
Well, you've produced a lot of fruit.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
But only God will know that.
Only God knows it is right.
You know, sometimes I feel as though I've done nothing of any value. And I presume, do you feel that way sometimes? I mean, you remember Dr. Norman Vincent Peale?
Yeah.
You know, I got to meet him twice.
Is that right?
And he changed my life with his book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Believe it or not, I was a shy person until I read that book at the age of 20. But he said, I think the whole of us being here, he said this when he was 95. He died later that year. The whole of it is to learn faith. And it's a long, hard road for all of us. And he said he was imbued with feelings of inferiority. I have a friend of mine who's a former sheriff, very successful man in this world, former commissioner, sheriff, all kinds of. Anyway, he said he still is hounded by feelings of inferiority. Well, I think maybe God gives that to us to keep us tempered. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Remember what I said about Dr. Graham?
Yeah.
He exuded that. I think that's why the crowds were so attracted to him. He didn't point the finger down at people. You know, President Bill Clinton. Well, this is Bill Clinton. God bless you and God bless America. And he said, when Billy Graham came to see me during the Monica Lewinsky thing, and I can only imagine the man must have thought of suicide. He must have, the whole world was crumbling on top of his shoulders. How did he feel? I prayed for him because we're all sinners anyway. And he said Dr. Graham flew in to see him, and he said he didn't talk at me.
Yeah.
He spoke with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, President Clinton, he may not be everything everybody wants him to be, but an intelligent man, Rhodes Scholar, very adept, very observant of him.
Right.
To say Dr. Graham did not talk at him.
Yeah.
But spoke.
He was expecting the worst.
Him.
Yeah. He was expecting to be put down.
You know, you never know that that could have saved his life. In other words, I knew he was at his darkest hour. And at that moment, yeah. I thought, I wish I had entree into the White House. Yeah. I didn't have a radio show then, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I did have a radio show then. That's right. But anyway, I didn't have entree into the White House. But I did pray for him because I know, you know, God says himself, whoever you are listening to this, if you know someone, you better back off with your judgment. And if you are that person, back off from judging yourself so harshly, because even the Lord says a broken and contrite heart he will not despise.
Mm-hmm.
A smoldering candle he will not snuff out.
Yeah.
A broken reed, a bruised reed. A bruised reed he will not break.
Right.
So if you've been arrogant, if you've been a sinner, and you think, oh, my word, I can't go to God. No, just like Mary Magdalene, who he forgave, even though she had been a prostitute, whore, whatever you want to name her, and she cleansed his feet with her tears.
Mm.
Wouldn't you like to be able to clean the Lord's feet with your tears?
Yeah.
You know? Are you a sinner?
Am I a sinner?
Yeah.
Cleansed, yes, but I'm a sinner, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll sin to the day I die, sad to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you seem to be a very gentle man.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That seems to be my temperament, although when I was younger, I did not have that temperament, and I mentioned that in the book.
I can't wait to read this thing because there's nobody else that's ever come in here and has a photographic memory. I guess you have like a
No, I don't.
But you said this is up to the age 12, and yet you remember all this with clarity of mind.
I do. And I have a lot of stories.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Your King rejoices over you with singing. Oh, sing, Zion, sing. Let the anthem of your heart be filled.